You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Hi, welcome to a special edition of Freed on Business. We're live on tape at 880 AM, The Biz in Miami. 880 AM is part of the Salem Media Network. We're here today with Jerry Gutterman. Jerry's a successful real estate investor for over four decades. We're talking to Jerry about the lessons that he's learned in real estate over the years. He's going to give us information that you can apply today to make your life better and to make money. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate being here.
And let's just kind of go over some of your rules to live by for survival in the real estate business. What's your number one rule? What's a professional investor?
When you purchase for investment, you're taking on the responsibilities of a professional. You may not think you are, but please be assured, Jim, that if you don't act like a professional investor, you're going to get creamed. Therefore,
what's a professional investor, Jerry?
Professional investor is an individual who spends his career investing in, buying, and selling investment real estate profitably. Please don't forget profitably, Jim. It makes every difference, especially when you're investing.
100%. Now, you're purchasing the investment real estate. Everybody's been telling you for your entire career that there's all kinds of rules of thumb. The sellers say it, the buyers say it, the brokers say it. Tell me about the rules of thumb.
Some of my favorite rules. Rules that you've been taught by real estate brokers, real estate investment bankers, and how-to book gurus. Rules of thumb sound good to those without any in-depth knowledge, but they generally have no basis in fact. They generally don't impart wisdom. We have rules to follow and to live by for survival and profit. They're not rules of thumb. The pragmatic actuality. There's no substitute for location, physical condition, cash flow, financial history, stability, and future resale value.
Well, that's all great, Jerry, but if you don't look at a project in the context of its neighborhood, you're really missing the boat. Tell me a little bit about how you guys consider the demographics surrounding a property when you make a decision to buy.
We are known as demographic geeks. We believe that demographics are the lifeblood of real estate. If you reach out to most investors or builder developers and ask them for a copy of demographic elements, namely family size demand for a local area, apartment sizes, adequacy to demand, layouts, number of apartments, ratios and safety, convenience for families with children, and most of all, disposable income for the family per net rentable square foot. These are all called the elements for a specific property and specific area, and how the elements conform to the demand in the specific area. I believe that almost no one will have ever ordered the study or discuss exactly what elements of an effective demographic study are available for their specific property or in their specific area.
When you borrow money, the clock never stops ticking. In fact, just today I was talking about an amortization schedule with a lender. So how do you attribute the fact that real estate is a 24/7, 365 business?
Jim, what I found was sleeping or awake, money costs money. We're investors in a business that costs money every minute of every hour of every day. And we can make money every minute of every hour of every day. Investment real estate, it can be a money machine that rewards knowledgeable people with real, touchable, current and future cash flow and appreciation.
Now, Jerry, that's after you've bought the property. But when you're looking for properties, I was with you earlier today, you were talking to a broker on the phone. Broker was pitching you a deal. What goes through your mind when a broker is pitching you a deal and you're reviewing the seller's numbers?
The cardinal rules that have cost me more money than otherwise. Every seller is a liar and every deal is a bad deal. There's no exception to this rule, Jim. Every seller or his representative will lie in some way, either by outright misrepresentation, slanting the facts to direct my attention, or simply failing to deliver unfavorable information. We call that a lie by omission. You owe it to yourself to insist that all of the appropriate information be delivered. For instance, if you're buying an older building, you have to receive by purchase or otherwise an environmental report. That report has to concern the materials in the building walls, floors, roofing, and any adverse material contained in the land, such as gasoline or oil seepage. If the property is a multi-residential building and has been operating for a number of years, you have to receive the monthly and annual income statements and the rent roll and the turnover reports for at least three preceding years. The information is necessary so that you can determine whether demographics are consistent with the property, if the current vacancy rate is an aberration or is consistent with prior years, or if there are any specific apartments that are consistently vacant or require an extended time period to occupy, and why.
Okay, well then, Jerry, now that we've done that, it sounds to me like what we're really talking about is due diligence.
Absolutely, Jim. And the guiding philosophy of due diligence is receive the appropriate information or let some other fool buy the property. There are many people who think that due diligence is unnecessary. I was actually told by a national competing investor that they received sufficient information from the seller. Of course, I started to laugh. Your knowledge of the property before closing should be guided by hard, in-depth, and independent confirmed reality, facts. Perception is not reality. Your perception after listening to a seller is not reality. Your perception after listening to a broker is certainly not reality. And the rule always applies. Due diligence is mandatory. If you don't have due diligence, as soon as you close the transaction, you be sure to check yourself into a mental institution. It will be safer for you.
Now, Jerry, a lot of the buyers that I know say that they're not really worried about what the cash is when they're going into the deal because they're going to make all kinds of changes to that. And then they're going to sell the property and they're going to make money when they sell the property. What strikes you as being a little bit inappropriate with those statements?
What strikes me most is what kind of absolute fool would buy a property for more than the property's current value? Nobody is wealthy enough to do that. You make your money on the day you buy the property because you're buying a property at its then current value, or you're paying less than its then current value, but you never buy a property based on hopes and dreams. You buy it based on its then current value, which means you make your money on the day you buy, never on the day you sell. You collect your money on the day you sell. It's very important, Jim. It's very important for people to understand that hopes and dreams don't guide this business, and hopes and dreams don't keep you out of trouble. You have to have the pragmatic reality of the moment. You have to understand what's going on around you so that you can make the proper decisions.
Now, a lot of the investors that I know like to talk about fancy terms like internal rate of return. Other investors that I like to work with talk about they're just interested in the big pile of money at the end of the deal. What's your thoughts about internal rates of return and some of those other statistics?
You know, an internal rate of return is the wish that the broker makes when he's giving you the information and he believes that you may be stupid enough to actually believe that wish. Internal rate of return is nothing but a wish that he hopes you will believe 5 or 7 years down the road, and having nothing to do with the present value of the property and nothing to do with the cash flow of the property. So what he's doing is he is selling you the hopes and dreams for the future to make up for the fact that what you are buying is not worth what you are paying. And so I always call it, when somebody does that, the greater fool theory, because you always are praying that you will eventually find someone more stupid than you are who will be willing to buy it on an internal rate of return 5 years hence after he buys it from you. Certainly, people are now purchasing based on these future hopes and dreams and not purchasing for present value, because it seems to be old-fashioned and lacks the sophistication that you might think is available from a gypsy fortune teller. So be careful. When you buy, buy what the seller has to sell.
Oh my gosh, I just love this. This has been absolutely amazing. I hope you're listening and taking notes. You'll be tested on this at the end. I'm going to send this up to UF, to FIU, to Nova, to all the people that are studying real estate. This guy's tape needs to be the first thing that they listen to when they start their studies and the last thing they hear before they go out into the real world. This is a dose of reality. Stick with us for the second part of Jerry's interview, and also going to interview Nikki Fried about why she's running for Florida Secretary of Agriculture, Agriculture Commissioner. I'll get it right by the time she wins. Wanda, it's yours.